Today, our scripture passage comes from 1 Thessalonians, and today we have a different kind of sermon for you all. Susan and Carol have graciously agreed to do a co-sermon with me this morning, so they're going to share in their gift and their calling with us today. And so, Carol, a couple of months ago, we talked about doing something together, and she picked this passage. And so we were grateful, a little timid, but excited to meet together. We've gathered together a couple times to kind of talk through it. And so we hope this morning that you are blessed and encouraged as we build each other up and as we celebrate the upcoming Thanksgiving week and fellowship together. So I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have everything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you'd pray with me. Lord, we are thankful for this time of worship and this gathering as you have brought us from different places and different backgrounds that we might worship you together in one spirit and one baptism and one hope. Lord, we pray that as we share in the reading of Scripture and share what the Holy Spirit has put on our hearts, that we would be attentive to your guidance, that you would give us open minds to receive your word, and that we would be empowered and encouraged to go out and to be people of faith in our community. Lord, thank you for this time. Give us illumination and interpretation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of the turkeys are being prepped. Family arguments are brewing. Stuffing is being stuffed. The gravy is flowing like rivers, and the holiday season is officially in full swing. The darkness is coming early and earlier each day, and that chill, I'm nervous that it's moving in quickly, and the anxiousness of all that needs to be done, all that is coming, all the stuff we have to do for the holidays gets stronger and stronger. Not to mention that the earth is still rotating, that there's still uncertainty in the world, that there's yelling on both sides of the political aisle. Lines drawn not in sand anymore, but in concrete. People dying in the streets because of the hold of addiction. Neighbors going hungry at night, sleeping in cold because the electricity is turned off. People hurting because of fighting with their families and feeling the weight of past holidays and past mistakes. Will I be loved and accepted when I turn home? Can I even go home? Will I have anywhere to spend the holidays? Is someone out there missing me? The pervasive sense of uncertainty and chaos in the world wants us to turn ourselves to celebrities or self-help guides for comfort. Yet, we know that this will never quell the anxiety that we have and hold on to. The Christians gathered in Thessalonica in the Roman capital city in the province of Macedonia had experienced such feelings. They had experienced persecution and accusations because they denied to worship the Roman Caesar or king. Instead, their king was Jesus. Their alliance and allegiance was to Christ. And despite this persecution, Paul gets word that they are doing well. So this letter that he writes is a way to reconnect. It's a reminder, an encouragement to the people. And I don't know about you this morning, but I need a reminder of God's goodness. I need a little push towards hope in Christ, a Christ that conquers death and is resurrected. I need to be reminded that though winter comes, so does springtime. I need a little slice of hope pie to get through Thanksgiving and the other holidays and the posture and the arguing and everything that comes. We are called to be children of light, knowing that the dawn of Jesus' return is coming, and that whatever it may be, we are also promised that God's mercies are new every morning. That there's no need to try to calculate the end times. There's no need to count the days or guesstimate. It will happen when it does. And we will be ready in Christ. And in that hope, we find comfort and strength to live in the uncertainty that we find ourselves in today.
Well, that's one hard act to follow, as always. Okay. When I was in school, there was always final exams. The big one at the end of the year, the one that counted for a major portion of my grade. Sometimes the teacher would say, if you have an A so far this year, you don't need to take the final exam. If I was in that group of people who did not have to take the test, I was relieved. Not that I couldn't do well on the test, but it gave me more time to study for the classes that I didn't have an A in, and there were many of those. That's where the Thessalonians were at this point in their history. They were a little nervous about the final exam, the coming of Christ. In the last part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul describes to them some of what will happen when Jesus comes again. The people of that time would have been well aware of the events of the second coming. They knew about the dead in Christ rising again, about the judgment to be meted out to all. It made people nervous. No one likes the idea of being judged. In the Old Testament, according to Matthew W. Holmes in his commentary, the day of the Lord was described as a day of judgment for the opponents of God, but a day of deliverance for the faithful. So all Jews would have known the connotation of the day of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I often wonder, when Christ comes, what will my judgment be? I know I'm far from perfect. I'm sure the Thessalonians were thinking much the same thing. In chapter 5, Paul reassures them they have nothing to worry about as followers of Christ. They've already met the requirements for the final test. I bet they were relieved, but they were aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I was curious about what that phrase meant, so I went to my go-to, which is Google, and it said that in Jewish tradition, the high priest, which would be Christ in this case, was considered the thief in the night because he would come in the dark and check on the guards to make sure they weren't asleep. So I thought, well, that makes sense in this connotation that Christ would come again to make sure we aren't asleep. Let's see, where am I? Okay, they knew it would all happen suddenly and without warning. In that day, darkness was dark. I know that sounds funny, but there were no street lights, there were no electric lights in the home, and if there was no moonlight, it was darker than most of us can imagine. If you've ever driven in the western part of the state, you know what kind of darkness that is like. You can actually see the Milky Way, and when the sky is cloudy and the moon and stars are covered, you can't see anything. Anyway, darkness was frightening to the Thessalonians, because in the dark, you can't see what's happening. A thief could sneak up on you and you wouldn't see him coming. Paul tries to allay their fears and assure them they are people of the light, people of the day as followers of Christ. This reference is because, as we know, Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the light in the darkness. So those who follow him are therefore in the light. The Bible has many references to light and darkness, light being a symbol of holiness, wisdom, hope, darkness being a symbol of evil, sin, and despair. Jesus says in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But for those who were not prepared, those who were putting their trust in Rome, the outcome would be entirely different. And in our Sunday school lesson this morning, I found this passage which is relevant. It's in John 10, chapter 11, verse 9. It says, "Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." Paul says, while people were saying peace and safety, destruction would come upon them. According to Michael Holmes, the saying peace and safety was the slogan of the Roman Empire. It promised peace and security for those who submitted to Roman rule. So the people who were saying peace and safety were following Rome and not Christ. They were not trusting the right person. They were in the dark spiritually. The Thessalonians didn't have to worry about the destruction that Paul talked about because it was for everyone who was not in the light. Those who hadn't studied and were getting a D or an F in Christ following, those were the ones that were going to fail the final exam. So we, as followers of Christ, if we've done our homework diligently and followed Christ's teaching, have little to worry about when Christ comes again. Paul continues to speak to the Thessalonians about what they need to do to prepare. He tells them they need to be diligent, or as he puts it, awake and sober. Be ready. Don't be asleep like those who sleep at night. For when Christ comes, it will be sudden and without warning. If we are awake and sober, we can greet him when he appears. In this case, sober doesn't mean not drunk. It means self-disciplined or wakeful. I guess if you're not drunk, it implies you are self-disciplined. If you're not drunk, you're more likely to be watchful. And don't think watchful means scanning the bushes for predators. I think it means watchful of ourselves, how we behave, how we treat others, how we follow Christ's teachings. As long as we're doing that, when Christ comes again, we will have passed our final exam and graduate into his kingdom and be with him forever. So even though the Thessalonians, who Paul was speaking to, were in a good place, they still needed to remain diligent, loving, followers of Christ. Just because they didn't have to worry about the final exam, they still needed to keep studying to maintain their A status. Just because they had a good grade now didn't mean they weren't going to be tempted to fall back, to not turn in the homework, or read the assignment, or maybe not even go to class. Keep watchful and don't sleep. As it is for us, even though we may have been Christians for 50 years or 5 years or 5 weeks, you still need to continue to study and follow Christ's teaching to maintain so that God can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." May we all share in our master's happiness.
Okay, so it's my turn. you know, she talked about it. Hard act to follow. You know, this is a pretty tough place to be in right now. But here goes. It talks about a breastplate covers vital organs such as the heart, lungs, while a helmet covers the head, and it protects the brains. A warrior doesn't go into battle without these things, and neither should we. For we are in a battle against evil, and the author of such evil, Satan. But no need to fear, For we have the Almighty God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, that we may be saved and have eternal life. And this takes faith. What is faith? Well, according to Paul in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for but not seen. So love is an emotion of the heart, a deep affection. Can't you see it? No, you could see expressions of love, people towards each other, but love itself is an essence of the Spirit. Salvation is taking Christ as your Savior, believing in him and eternal life, for it has an effort and effect on our lives here. And now, right now, we could have that hope of salvation right now. We also need to share that hope with others. We share that faith and love, building each other up. We also need to share the hope of salvation with those who may not know Christ or might not know him very well. I also think of it as a gift, which is given to us, not something that we must earn, although many try, don't they? You could do good works until the cows come home, and it won't get you any closer to heaven without Christ. You know, I have found in my ministry that it's sometimes difficult to love those living on the street, some who may not have had a shower or a change of clothes for a very, very long time. Caring for these folks, for me, is putting on the breastplate of love. A gesture of love can be as simple as giving out gloves and hats when it's cold outside, or taking the time to pray with someone. Upon rereading the passage in First Thessalonians, I realized that many of us are in the same boat as the Thessalonians. We also need to remember that God is still with us. But with all the conflict and chaos in the world today, you know, the wars, the rumors of wars that you later find out is actually true. There's other conflicts between countries and religions. You know, that big bad word, politics. Now that happens a lot. You may think that it's all becoming lost because there are so many conflicts between countries and religions. But we need to remember that God is still there by our sides. We need to be more aware of what's happening. For example, if you've ever been driving and found yourself at your destination and not realized or remembered how you got there because your mind was on something else. Some of us are like that in our lives. We need to look for God in life situations, because he is surely there. We need to be aware. In verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:10, it says, "He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." Awake as in living on earth as a Christian, or asleep as in a physical death. When I was a young Christian, I used to go forward at each and every altar call. Do you know why? I wanted to make sure that no matter what, I was saved. So, you know, that went on for a while, but one time when Pastor gave an altar call, he pulled me aside and said, "You know, once does it all. All you have to do is give your life over to Jesus, and once takes care of it all." But you know, I kept wrestling with the idea, and boy, did I have trouble with it. Once is enough. And I, having faithful faith, was what was called for. However, once I finally understood that, it was easier for me to have faith in other areas of my life. And I am thankful. This being the week of Thanksgiving, I thought I would tell you what I'm thankful for. Thankful for, and perhaps you have already made your own list. Mine begins with God's grace, mercy, and love. For without that, I would have nothing. I would not be here. Jesus Christ, who died for me, the angels that watch over me, this church and our pastor, fellow Christians, and my life, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, a place to live, food to eat, medical care, and the list goes on and on. What are you thankful for today? Thank you.
Paul ends this section with verse 11, saying, "Therefore, encourage each other, build each other up, as you indeed are doing. Despite the test you're worried about, despite falling asleep in life, despite questioning your salvation, put on the armor of God. Don't forget to keep doing what God has asked you to do already. God has asked us here to love God, to love our community members, to love our church family, to bear with each other. Though the Thessalonians struggled against powers that be, their allegiance was always to King Jesus, and their support of each other led them to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstance," as Paul writes at the close of this letter. Biblical commentator Mark Lee says, "There's no need to wait for Jesus' return to live lives of love and justice and care and peace. That is the everyday life of faith now. And that is what we are called to, the work of discipleship and faith, to live into the kingdom of God here and now. Not for another day, not worried and anxious about when God will return. To encourage each other, to support each other during the holidays that come, and to be thankful for all of the various ways that God has been encouraging and in caring for us this past year. Uncertainty does not mean that you are without purpose or hope. Chaos doesn't rock us because Christ is our cornerstone and our firm foundation. So this day, let us give thanks for light. Let us give thanks for peace that transcends all understanding. Let us give thanks for the Holy Spirit's comforting presence in our hearts. Let us give thanks for the people that have cooked turkeys, that have made casseroles, that have brought rolls and butter and different dishes so that we might celebrate together. Let us give thanks for this faith community, for the location we are at, for our sibling congregations, for the excitement of the new year, of a Christmas to celebrate. So, keep on keeping on. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And now, let's get to the other good stuff. Let us feast and be happy. Amen.